Blog Talk Radio.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you.
Now it's time. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Cosmic Voice on this Wednesday evening. First of all, I'd like to say we've had a few issues to see this afternoon. Drake unfortunately won't be with us today. He's not feeling too well, and Tanath is currently a bit delayed, but she will join us in about 20-25 minutes. So I'll introduce you to Sunfire.
Hello. Hello, guys. Hello, Thomas.
Hi. So then there was two. There used to be four, now it's two.
Yep. Hey, the bosses are away. We should have some fun and have a real party here, huh?
Yeah, why not? Right. Shall we start with some questions, or do you want to have something to say first?
I think we'll just dive right into the questions.
Right, okay. Some of these questions are over from most of the questions are over from last week. So I warn people who have sent questions that we will ask your question eventually. It's just that with us not having a Spreaker account currently, we're an hour down and we get lots and lots of questions. Right, let's get started. How is it best to protect against grey attacks, manipulations, when you feel that your thoughts are strange or being tampered with?
What I suggest, and I've been told this works really well to protect against greys, reptoids, negatives, all that, a good, real, well-made piece of orgon. Also, most shielding methods work. You just have to kind of experiment and find out what's going to work best for you. And then, as well, if they're manipulating your thoughts, and you know that they're manipulating your thoughts, then you can also try just saying, hey, knock it off, kind of thing. You know, or what you can do is retake control of your thoughts. If they're trying to direct them down, like, a negative path, just, like, pull, you know, really exert your power and your will and start thinking about something else. Even if you start singing show tunes, you know, even something like that, you know, start singing a show tune in your mind, they'll back off really quick.
Yeah, just like a distraction.
Yeah.
Right. Is ego a natural human trait, or was it implanted by the bad ETs? And are emotions a natural human trait?
Natural, you know, the like the negative emotions, some of them are natural to any kind of sentient being. As far as the separation of ego and self, that was definitely something that was caused by the interference of the bad ETs, would be like the Anunnaki when they came around 25,000 years ago and started messing with people genetically, and then the reptoids and those in the separation between the left and the right brain and the separation between ego and self, that basically caused that. Because in, you know, with the ET, generally speaking, there is no separation between the two, and they're more balanced and connected.
Okay. Are you able to say how a chronovisor works?
I'm really not that familiar with that technology. I know there's various visors and that kind of thing that you know, have those kind of abilities. But, I mean, as far as specifically a chronovisor, I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. Right. Our sun used to be yellow back in the 1980s. Right now, it's so obvious that our sun is very white and bright. How do we know we are seeing our sun being white and bright is not due to the effect of chemtrails and HARP destroying our atmosphere?
Well, HARP is basically I would say from what I've seen that the chemtrails are dying off, and HARP would not have the effects to cause that kind of a thing. What people are seeing is the sun being prepared for the transition to 4D, and it will become as I know Tolik and we and Tanath and I have been talking about this. Drake's been talking about this. It is transitioning to a blue-white star from a yellow-white star, and it's necessary for this to happen, for it to exist at the higher vibration of 4D and above, and it will not be causing any harm to the planet or anything like that. We're not going to, you know, have to worry about it expanding in size or, you know, any of those kind of things. I think if people have been paying attention that the solar flares have been dying off and that the sun itself is actually becoming more stable, and that is a product of it being prepared for the transition.
Good. Right. This guy said he's got a few video security cams around his house and he keeps seeing orbs. Can you explain in some detail about these orbs?
I would say most likely that the orbs are either spirits or they would be like the fairies or pixies or sprites, something like that. Generally speaking, if it's not you know, a insect, then the next explanation would likely be for it to be the either spirits, because the orb is in the ball shape is the most easiest form for energy to take, or it would be fairies, sprites, pixies, something along those lines.
Okay. Right. How can lower consciousness people survive the transition to 4D? Should they elevate themselves in vibration before the transition?
Anybody who's on the surface of the planet when the planet goes 4D will make the transition. Generally, with those that are not prepared, not ready, or in the sense that they have not completed all the lessons and things that they need to learn in 3D, those are the ones that on a soul level will be making the decision to go on to the biospheres and be transported to the new pristine 3D planet. And so as far as, you know, surviving, that's, you know, not going to be an issue.
Right. Question for Tanath or Sunfire. Is there sentient life at any level on Jupiter's moon, Europa?
Yeah, it's definitely in the Hyades. I don't know if there is in 3D, but I do know on the Hyades that the majority of the moons and the planets in the solar system are occupied.
From my investigation, the Russian meteor was actually a large piece of a space weapon that was shot down by the Galactic Federation. Just before it hit the ground, it was shot down by a UFO. Is this info correct? If not, what really happened?
Well, it definitely was an asteroid, and it definitely was shot down or made into smaller pieces by one of the Galactic Federation ships. I believe actually it was a Silver Legion ship, and it was broken into smaller pieces to lessen the impact of the asteroid hitting the surface of the planet. And it was one of those things where the bad guys, they pretty much, the only thing they can do is throw stones like a child, you know, like a two-year-old toddler in a temper tantrum. So what are they going to do? Throw stones. They can't do much else.
Right, okay. If a parallel universe exists, does that mean that there are realities where Earth is already a fourth dimensional planet and other realities where the reptilians never landed here and started manipulating society?
There's plenty of alternate realities. There's plenty of alternate and parallel universes. So I would say, yeah, definitely there are those that exist. And also you'd have various other timelines where other different, like, sequences of events have happened and things happen in a different order and that sort of thing.
Okay. Alex Collier, in his last interview with Jay Perron in February this year, talks about a major cosmic event that will affect planet Earth and that we need to be prepared for survival. Also, Tolek talks about the east, about the coastlines being hit hard. They talk about something coming towards Earth, and it will hit this month, August or October. Why are they saying these things? Is this fear porn?
Okay, I was going to say, I would not consider these fear porn. I think what it is that they could be from one of the other timelines. The planet and the population has made so many shifts towards the complete positive timeline that in the instances where they express things like the like Alex Hollier did and like Tolek has been saying, that it's possibly for one of the other timelines, but I have been assured quite regularly, and I check with them almost daily, but I have been assured quite regularly that there will be no major catastrophic or cataclysmic events, and we won't be losing our coastlines. We won't have anything like, you know, the mythological Nibiru or Planet X or Nemesis or anything like that, impacting on the planet. It's going to be a fairly smooth transition.
Yes,
and
no second sun with seven planets either.
Right. That was another one of those fabled myths.
Okay. While we're on Tolek, there was a question here about Tolek. Why is he so quiet? Is he okay?
As far as I understand it, Tolek is absolutely fine. He's just very busy, and he said that he's not going to be doing any more interviews until he can announce the arrival of the Goodwill Ambassador team from the Andromeda Council. And he has been invited onto the show a couple of times, but, you know, he doesn't want to do any more interviews until that time, so... He knows the invitation is still open. We care a lot about Tolek, and we do keep an eye on him as best as we can, as well as Alex Collier. So I want to give them both a shout-out. We love you guys.
Okay. We've heard of beings from Era around Tegeta. Are there beings in other neighboring star systems like Electra, Kielano, Atlas, Merope, Sterope, Pleione, and Maia, and if so, were they corrupted as well?
The Arians are very strong allies and members of the Federation. We love them. They're involved in things going on here. There are occupied planets around at least most, if not all, of those star systems mentioned. I know that some of the planets belong to what we consider hostile or negative ETs, and then there are some that are occupied by positive ETs and some that are occupied by neutrals. But just because somebody says they're a Pleiadian doesn't mean that they're positive.
Yes, we've been hearing about that.
Yeah. I think it needs to be said a million times, though, sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think that's a lot to do with the Galactic Federation of Light, isn't it? Saying all
Galactic Federation of Lizards?
Yeah.
Come on, what they are, the Galactic Federation of Lizards.
It is what it is.
Yep.
Right, next question. I gather from your talks that the beings from Alcyon in the Pleiades were corrupted. Is this correct?
Yes, but it's being further investigated. As far as we understand it, pretty much they were all involved in selling the planetary population out to the reptoids. So.
Okay. Have you heard about a guy, I think it's a guy called Hawkey Davis on YouTube? I've not heard of that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him at all.
Basically, they show changes on the planet every week, and mostly catastrophic events and dead animals in the millions. So I would assume that's fear porn.
Yeah, sure sounds like it.
Yep. Right. Are there any symbiotic ships in the Federation, as in the movie Farscape?
I'm not familiar with the movie Farscape, but I do know there are symbiotic ships, and there are also ships that are sentient. And, sentient in that some of these ships have sentient cores for their... and then there's also those that are, they look, I want to say, kind of like, they look kind of like jellyfish, and then there's others that look like a different kind of sea fish. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they are alive, and they have a peaceful coexistence with those that work and live inside them. And the insides look literally just like a regular ship, but they're done in a way that is supportive and not in any way to cause like negative effects on the being.
Okay. Apparently Farscape was a Canadian show.
I've heard of the show, I just am not familiar with it. And I was trying to think of there was an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where, I think in like the first or second season, where the guy goes and finds one of these sentient beings that's a ship and ends up becoming, you know, being on the ship and actually like traveling with it.
Okay. Can you give a basic overview of how a computer in the Galactic Federation of Planets is structured?
They're holographic and crystal-based. What I remember from my pre-incarnation and what I've been shown since is that basically, you get these two things that, you know, if you have a desktop kind of thing, you get these two things that look like lava lamps. You set them a certain distance apart, turn them on, and there's your computer. And then the rest basically end up looking very much like what is displayed on Star Trek, not, you know, slightly more futuristic.
Okay. We have only 6 months until the Ascension date Toldak talks about, yet it seems much needs to happen in terms of ET visitations and advertisement regarding the potential exodus off-planet for those wanting to remain in 3D. In your estimation, how much time will the ETs need between their initial visitations and the exodus of great numbers of people off-planet?
I am not so solid on the date of January. I think it will happen sometime between fall of this year, spring of next. And from what I understand, they have all the time that they're going to need.
I don't know. A lot of people seem to be asking, it may come up later on, how we are going to be informed as such. I think a lot of people are under the illusion that it's going to be through the TV and radio, but it's also, by my understanding, it's on a soul level as well. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's going to be like on a soul level, and then also there's, you know, there's a bunch of different methods, and I mean, it's going to be to where everybody will get the opportunity, and we're not just going to limit it to mainstream media or, you know, media like internet, TV, radio, that kind of thing. There's actually going to be, like, you know, various groups of the ETs going, reaching out to the various communities and that kind of thing. And so, I mean, we'll make sure that everybody has the option to get the information and make that free will choice.
Okay. After Terra ascends to the fourth dimension, will we get unicorns and Pegasus back on the planet again? I'm assuming we have had them in the past.
Yes, we have had them in the past. When the planet was actually in the higher dimensions in the past, we did have them here. That's why a good part of the reason why we see all the legends of Pegasus and unicorns and unipegs and that kind of thing. And I've definitely been informed they have every intention of coming back here as soon as they are sure that it will be safe for them. And I mean, they're sentient beings and will be expected to be treated at least as equal as humans, if not slightly beyond that. But they, you know, they definitely will insist on being treated equally, because they are not, you know, they're not a lesser animal. They are equal in sentience to humans, if not slightly further evolved than that.
Okay. Will Earth tilt back to complete vertical this fall?
It's already in the process of doing that. There is stabilization mechanisms in place that are basically helping it move gradually to prevent any widespread cataclysmic problems that could potentially be caused if the poles move too quickly. But yes, what's going to be happening is the poles are already in the process of this. The planet will return to straight vertical, and the general global climate will be changing to what is basically considered a Mediterranean climate, which is what you would see in places like Greece and Italy and that general area. But from what I understand, there will still be some mountains that have snow on them. And we'll see Greenland return to Greenland. It won't be covered in ice anymore. And you know, for those that are really interested in ancient history, Greenland was originally known as the continent of Thule, and Hyperborea was the main city.
Okay. Is there any process to get prepared for 4D?
Well, I know that TANAF has said that the self-work is helpful. It's not required. There is no required process for transitioning to 4D other than literally being physically on the surface of the planet, not inside the planet, not in the center of the planet, not off planet, just being on the surface of the planet. But any kind of meditation, any kind of self-work, like releasing as many of your negative emotions as you can, also going back and looking over as many different events and healing from any kind of traumatic events and things like that, releasing the old energies. Think of not only the planet, but yourself as a butterfly that is still in the cocoon and still in the metamorphosis stage and about ready to emerge from the cocoon, a beautiful, bright, vibrant being. And, you know, I think everybody will kind of understand where we're at right now. We're all in that chrysalis cocoon stage of getting ready to emerge.
Would this explain why so many are suddenly experiencing very lucid dreams and astral travel?
I would say, yeah, it's probably that's a big thing, is that with all the influx of energies and stuff, it's clearing away what what was preventing it, and then also with people's natural vibrations raising, they're being able to obtain those, you know, obtain those abilities.
Okay. Right. What will happen when the ETs start to land? What is the chain of command in the military and also the police forces that will cause them to stand down and not treat the ETs as hostile forces?
That is being handled through diplomatic channels. I can't discuss it at this time.
Okay. Just there's more portions of it.
Yeah.
From which point in the leadership will the command be given to allow the ETs full reign? Will that be the case, that the ETs have full reign over command?
Well, they'll, you know, like I said, I really can't discuss it at this time. I know it's all being handled through diplomatic channels, so.
Right, okay.
But I'm assured that there won't be any problems with the police and military or anything like that in regards to the visitations.
Right. What or who is Gaia? I read from Wiki that Gaia was a goddess, creator, and giver of birth to the Earth and all of the universe. Is that correct?
Well, there is Gaia the Titan, who was a very positive Titaness, and she was, I know she was involved in the birth of the original Titans, and was partially involved in some of the creation of various planets, solar systems, that kind of thing. And then most people know Gaia as the soul spirit for the planet, but the real name of the soul spirit for the planet is Mita, and but most people still, you know, only know her as Gaia or Mother Earth. And from what I understand, she's perfectly comfortable with people calling her Gaia, people calling her Mita, people calling her Terra, you know, any one of the above.
For the benefit of people who've never heard that before, can you spell Mita?
Yes, Mita is M-I-T-A.
Thank you. Is there also such deities as Uranus and Zeus, gods from Greek mythology?
Yes, they are. I know Uranus exists, and I know Zeus as well. And all of the Olympians and a good majority of the gods, goddesses, titans, all those beings are very much real beings. Some of them across history are the same being, just, you know, like a different race or a different, you know, region will have a different name for them. There's a lot of the Greek, Roman, and Norse gods that are the exact same beings. They are just different names. I know some of the Egyptian ones carry over into Greece and Ireland. And I know in my research that there's been a lot of different aspects of one god will be attributed to another and attributed to another, and sometimes you've got, like, you know, like three different gods that have attributes of the real being just kind of spread across them because of the way history was taken down at the time. But yes, all the gods and titans are real.
Good. No. Will we be meeting them?
I think there will be, quite likely, yes, there will be some of them that will be coming down to the planet, but they don't want to be worshipped. They really, more than anything, they want to be treated as equals they see themselves as. All of the ET, the positives and neutrals, the gods that I've spoken to, and all of them, they are very much emphasizing that they want to be seen and treated as equals. They don't want to be worshipped. They don't want to be treated as saviors. They don't want to be treated as gods, even if they are one.
Okay.
Next.
Is there a difference between the Galactic Federation of Planets and the Galactic Federation of Light?
Oh, man. Yes, there is. The Galactic Federation of Lizards, as I prefer to call them, Galactic Federation of Light, or we can go with the Galactic Federation of Liars, whichever you want to call it, is a AI-based front for the Reptoids and the Galactic Confederation, they are a negative-based group, and the Galactic Federation of Light, as T'Noth has said even in the past, and so has Tola pointed this out, they use that front to soften up the population of various planets, not just here on planet Earth, but to soften up various planets to get people to become passive and to basically sit there and let them invade and take over. They do not have anybody's best interest in mind but their own. And they've only been around for about 50,000 years, give or take. The Galactic Federation of Planets, the group that or organization that I am a diplomat for, has been around for about roughly 4 billion years and is the main organization here in the Milky Way, the collective of positives, neutrals, and non-regressive negatives. That's where I'm trying to put the emphasis, is that those, like, the Reptoids, the Hydras, the Draco, the ones behind the Galactic Federation of Light, they are considered regressive because their methods, their way of living, everything basically causes them to regress in an evolutionary basis. There are negatives out there that are, generally good people. They just have a different way of looking at things and a different way of doing things. And the Galactic Federation of Planets is a galactic organization, and we've basically been trying to get the Galactic Federation of Light to stop using the name. The head of the Galactic Federation of Planets has told them a dozen times, stop. But, it seems that, they just don't want to listen.
No, they don't.
And the Galactic Federation of Planets is very, because it says that the Star Trek is based on various groups from the Galactic Federation of Planets.
Right. Did the U.S. invade Iraq because of the Stargate that is supposedly there?
There is a Stargate in Iraq, and I know there is a Stargate in Iran. I would say that it was actually more than just that specific thing involved. There's generally multiple reasons for anything the Cabal does. That is definitely multiple reasons for the invasion of Iraq also.
Yes, there was one from what I have heard in Afghanistan as well.
Mm-hmm. And also that area, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, it's the seat of the Sumerian culture, and in the Cabal's bid to control history and make people only know and believe what they write, they tend to gather up as many of the artifacts that would, and hide away as many of the artifacts that would otherwise not fit within their written time frame.
Okay. Was there or is there a Stargate or portal off the coast of Yemen?
Yeah. there's a seagate off the coast of Yemen. There's seagates in multiple places, including Bermuda. The Bermuda Triangle, guys, is a seagate. And the seal in it is fracturing and has been for a while, and there's various energies that are getting through. It's unstable, and that is why there are so many time and space anomalies in the Bermuda Triangle. Is because of a malfunctioning seagate.
Has that also got something to do with the crystal pyramid? That's being found there.
There's crystal pyramids in multiple places around the planet, and I would say that's definitely part of it.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Hollow Earth Network? They keep up on nearly everything that is going on. They seem to have a different perspective on future events, but there are some similarities. What is your take on their information?
From what I understand, the Hollow Earth Network are still based on information that is fed to them via AIs, including ones like I believe one of them is Zora. That is a reptoid AI. So, you know, I would say just take it with a grain of salt. And from what I understand, the interior of the Earth as well as the subterranean areas have been completely cleared out at the request of Gaia, because they're not vibrating, you know, the people were not vibrating and operating within the best interest of the planet or the population.
Are you familiar with Inelia Benz? If so, what type of being is she, and what is her mission and or directive? And do you agree with her stories of astral travel?
You know, I would say I'm vaguely familiar with her, but not enough to fully comment. I would say that, you know, I'm vaguely familiar. I've heard of her. I've heard both positive and negative things about her, so I just, you know, suggest taking what she says with a grain of salt and using your discernment.
Yeah, I think she was the lady that the guy from Camelot hooked up with.
Right, yeah, Bill Ryan.
After the split, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I have a very mixed opinion regarding him, so I will just leave it at that.
Okay. Is there a litmus test get to go from 3D to 4D, or is it simply a free will choice?
It's a free will choice. If you want to go to 4D, just be on the surface of the planet at the time when the transition hits.
That's it. That's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stan Romanek has been abducted for many years. Is this still being allowed at this time by our government and or the Silver Legion, Andromeda Council, or Galactic Federation of Planets?
As far as the government, I don't think they are doing anything to prevent it. They were the ones that signed the contracts with the treaties with the bad guys to permit it in the first place. As far as the, you know, what the Silver Legion, Andromeda Council, and Galactic Federation of Planets is doing is we are working to the best of our efforts to prevent as many of the abductions as possible, but, you know, we can't be in all places at all times. And, you know, priorities have their, you know, have their different levels, and, you know, so we try to prioritize as best as we can. And like I said, we are making the best efforts possible to prevent as many of the abductions as possible. But, you know, the nature of those things are is that we can't stop all of them at the moment, but we are working on it.
Okay. Is my lab still in operation, or has that been closed down?
As far as I understand, it is still in operation, but it will be closed down, much like everything else that is in any way bad or will potentially have negative effects on the population.
Good. What size are the replicators? Can it replicate anything or just certain things?
They can replicate anything that's programmed into them. There's multiple different sizes. There is the what we call the personal or travel size, which is about the size of an average backpack and weighs about 20 to 22 pounds. And then there is the ones that are usually placed either in what we call our restaurants or like private quarters or houses or that kind of thing. And for those sizes, just look up any, you know, any episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek The Next Generation. You can get a good idea there. And then there are industrial-sized ones, which are usually used for houses and, you know, and that sort of thing. And then we have the big space dock and spaceship yard ones that build spaceships anywhere from a scout craft up to a planet sized.
Okay.
So they vary in different sizes, you know, depending on the purpose and use for them.
What is the source of what is the timeline for the release of the replicators? Will it be before, during, or after the landings?
From what I understand, it will definitely have to be after. First, what is going to be done is the suppressed technology, and I know there are plans on how to make replicators, will be released along with the other patents and instructions on how to make various technologies that have been suppressed and kept from the general population. Those will be released first. So it'll be more like, instead of just handing somebody a replicator, what we'll be doing more than anything is, for the most part, handing somebody the materials, the instructions, and you know, whatever tools they would need to build a replicator, and say, here, have fun. And, you know, of course, make it available if anybody needs, like, guidance or assistance, that kind of thing, then that will be available. And, you know, then beyond that, there will be some limited technology released from the Federation and the Andromeda Council and the Silver Legion that is appropriate for the growth and current levels of the population. You don't hand a blowtorch to a 2-year-old, you know?
Nope. Does the replicator need any input to get some output, and what is the source of its energy?
The ones that I am familiar with that we use in the Federation, and I believe it's similar to the ones that are used in the Andromeda Council, are crystal-based power. And I believe the Silver Legion ones are very similar. They've adopted a lot of the Galactic Federation of Planets technologies, and they are crystal-based. And the power sources, they last roughly several thousands of years. And especially like with the large ones, with the smaller portable ones, they last about 100 to 200 years for, you know, one power supply. I believe the ones that are going to be made available to the general population will have a different type of over-unity power supply so that they won't require any kind of replacement on the power for it.
Okay. I think sorry about that. Tanath is about to join us, so I'm just checking for the number. Okay. On previous shows, you asserted that the dinosaurs were not reptiles. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines them as reptiles. So what manner of species were they? And are dinosaurs inhabiting other planets at this time?
There are dinosaurs inhabiting other planets at this time. They are dinoids. They're not reptiles.
right, okay.
They are dinosaurs. They're closer. There are some species that are closer in relation to birds. If you guys look in on the evolutionary process and trends, you know, between the between what we currently have as birds and what, you know, what the dinosaurs were, and there are some species that have been found recently that look like a cross between dinosaurs and birds, and you will see the relation between them. And there's, you know, what there's I know a lot of, like, you know, what we have from modern chickens and that kind of thing are closely related to the dinosaurs as well. And there's a lot of the what was determined to be prehistoric creatures are being reintroduced via via the aquatic species that are part of the Federation, and we have other land animals that are being reintroduced. I know a lot of people have been asking about, like, all the massive bird die-off, the bees, that kind of thing. What it is they're just transitioning to 40 ahead of the general population.
Okay. Could you tell us anything about elves and so-called space elves, how they are interacting with Earth at this point?
The elves are considered part of the Fae and come from the Fae realm. The elves are most commonly known over in Ireland, of course, and then there are legends and different mythologies that that exist across the planet that that mention elf or fae like beings.
Okay.
And they operate in space too. They have ships and they do a lot of. They're currently involved in the Liberation Forces. I know that. We have Fae, we've got Elves, we've got Fairies, we've got Pixies, we've got Minotaurs.
Oh, the full gamut there.
Yeah, the whole gamut.
What is the most advanced civilization in our galaxy, and if you know, in other galaxies that you have encountered?
Oh my goodness. Go ahead.
That one for Tanath.
No, right. I think...
what's the most advanced civilization in our galaxy? And if you know any other galaxies that you've encountered, the most advanced civilization?
I think, as far as I know, there are super advanced civilizations and planets, populated planets across all galaxies. I wouldn't say that one, you know, that there's one specifically that's more, you know, that's the most advanced in the entire universe. Some of the more advanced ones would be in the 11D and 12D, which is the universal cap for this universe.
Right, okay. It's near the top of the hour. I'm going to locate Tanath now, so we're going to go into some music for 5-10 minutes while we locate Tanath. This next song I'm going to dedicate to Luna Lisa Doherty. I hope you enjoy it. Yeah.
there's an angel, contemplate my fate. Do they know the places where we go when we're gray and old? 'Cause I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, forsake me. I'm loving angels instead. When I'm feeling weak and my pain walks down a one-way street, I look above and I know
welcome back to Cosmic Voice on this Wednesday evening. I'm pleased to say we have Tanath with us for the next 2 hours. So,
Hi.
Do you want to have anything to say, Tanath, or shall we go straight into the questions?
Well, first off, I want to apologize for being late. I'm not going to be able to start at the regular time, at least for the foreseeable future, simply because I have taken new employment, and the timing of that, which is not flexible, means that I'm not going to get home until half an hour into the show. Today, there was a bit of an exception to that, there was a major incident along my route home, which meant that I had to walk about 2 kilometers to get home. That's about a mile and some to all the Americans who don't know metric. So, yes, that is the reason why I'm late. I had just stepped into the door and basically rushed to get online. So I'm ready for some questions now.
Right. Maybe we can start the show at 7:30 instead.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Right. Question 2 to Nath. Are you aware of any ethereal, massive, dark, or parasitical infrastructure used for mass mind control in the corresponding geographical location of the U.S. capital, i.e. the District of Columbia, or any other major political capital?
Yes, there is quite a bit of effort, both astral and otherwise, focused at, I guess you could call them, major centers of commerce and politics in the Western world. These are places where a lot of decisions get made. So if they can't control the decision makers directly, one thing they'll do is create an atmosphere that is conducive to the kinds of changes that they want to create. And they do cheat. They do use completely non-physical means and covert means to get their way. And yes, that's part of it.
I presume that applies in London and Rome as well. Right.
London, Rome, yeah, even Cairo has some. I mean, they're all over the place.
Right, okay. I would like to ask what you know about the ET group known as the Raelians. Are they deception?
The Raelians?
Yes.
They're not trustworthy, nor do they represent anyone that is currently working with the Liberation Forces or the Galactic Federation of Planets.
Okay. For those wanting to join the Silver Legion after the transition, how will we know where the registration center will be?
Well, we haven't got locations for the registration centers yet, and they're not so much registration centers as places where you can come, get information, and go see more for yourself in order to make an informed decision. It's not like a recruitment office in the current world.
Okay.
Definitely no high-pressure recruiting either. Well, so where those will be, we haven't yet decided, but we want to make sure that they're accessible to anyone who's interested. So that kind of nuts and bolts will be likely set up and decided after Ascension, because until then, we can't recruit anyone from the surface.
Will it likely be ground-based or mixture of
both? At this time, we will probably have ground-based facilities simply because people will be able to get to them easier.
Question 2 to Nath. I'm confused. Do you know what happens to our Terran body after the shift? Does it meld with our incarnated self? Do we have a choice who we be, the incarnation or the Terran?
I believe Tolik has talked quite a bit about this in his various interviews, but your Terran body will change. You will transform from being third-dimensional dense matter to being fourth-dimensional fine crystalline matter. And it does not mean that your body is going to fall over dead. It just means that all of a sudden the matter that makes you up will change in an eye blink. It's an instant thing. As for what you will look like at that time, well, if your awareness of who and what you are returns at that time, you're likely going to be able to consciously resume any form you might have had in the past. If you are not aware of who you or what you are, or if this is your first life, or if you don't choose to have another form, you'll stay looking as you are now, only it will be an idealized version of yourself.
Okay.
For instance, if you're massively overweight, you'll be a healthy weight. If you're if you were born with a disability, that disability will be gone. If you acquired a disability later in your life, that disability will also be gone. Missing limbs will be returned. Genetic abnormalities will be corrected instantly by this. It's a natural process. It's not somebody who's going to do this to you, so you don't need to worry about somebody coming along and making a mistake there. It goes back to the way, I guess you could say, nature intended it to.
Okay.
That should explain.
Yeah. Is there something to the power of three theory? The Native American belief of three genders, there are three holy spirits in Christianity, three fates, Earth is the third planet. There is a theory that our DNA is supposed to be a triple helix, and some solar systems have three suns. Is there really something behind the power of three theory?
Yes. Drake would probably be a better one to answer that, because he knows much more about number theory and sacred geometry than I do. But yes, there is power to three, and that's one of the reasons why we do the three times test, because it tends to force things to answer truthfully, or at least to reveal themselves in a way that you can understand.
As far as I understand it, if I remember correctly, Drake explained the trinary on, it's not the last episode, I believe it was the one prior to that. I think it was when we first came back, and
it was.
So I suggest that. Yeah, I suggest people that are really interested go back and listen to that episode. He, really goes into almost quite extensively the whole sacred geometry, and especially the trinary and the three times test and all that.
Okay. What can you tell us about the spiritual realms and also about the paths between them? Are each of these infinite in itself, a kind of universe, though of a different reality? And how can these be related to the dimensions? Do you want me to break that down?
Yeah. So first of all,
what
they
can
want
you tell
to
us
know
about
if
the
path realms are infinite?
The spiritual. Tell us about the spiritual realms, also about the paths in between them, and are each of these infinite in itself?
Some are finite. It depends on how the realm or the path is defined. Some realms are defined as touching all places at once and are essentially infinite, even though they might be, when you're inside them, they might seem small. Spatial dimensions, when you're dealing with how realms and paths interact with anything else, spatial dimensions and size references mean absolutely nothing. These things are law unto themselves in terms of that. They define themselves however they want, and they act accordingly, or however they've been designed to in the case of a realm that's that has been created. And they all have their own internal laws and rules, and by laws and rules, I don't mean that somebody's going to come arrest you if you try to break them. I mean that you might find that gravity is not a constant, or things like that, as in the natural laws or rules of the realm have been altered or customized. And when you're in them, well, you can't violate any of those without either permission from whoever created the realm or special equipment to do so.
Okay.
So what was the next question on that one?
When you talk of infinite levels of dimensions, how do these relate to the concept of a universe?
Within this universe, we only go to 12 dimensions. Other higher dimensions can visit from outside the universe. They can visit, but this universe is natively 12 dimensions. When it comes to the number of realms that can be in their universe at a time, that number is infinite. There are differences in the sizes of infinities. Infinities can be considered large or small, and some are larger than others. And I'm just looking up a book that I think people might find interesting if they really want to learn more about infinity. I've got it up in my storage unit in a box somewhere, and I can't find the name of it. But there are a few books written for non-scientists on the concept of infinities, and I would recommend that people who are interested in the subject look up those books and see what they have to say about relative infinities. As I understand it, you can have big infinities and small infinities and everything in between, and there's still infinity. This is not somehow not a contradiction, believe it or not. And some of these books will explain that concept further.
Right.
Now also, I wanted to recommend, you know, people to start researching things like toroid physics, hyperdimensional physics, quantum physics, you know, things like that, and you'll get more, you know, the other theoretical physics, theoretical sciences, sacred geometry. You can, you know, learn a lot through what mainstream science calls theory.
NASA Harriman will help with some of that.
Yeah.
He explains things very, very easily.
Yeah, and when it comes to...
Go ahead.
When it comes to our understanding about the universe, too, the universe is infinite. But when you compare it to other universes or the multiverse, it is actually a smaller infinity. So we're not the only game in town. But this is definitely the game that we are all here concerned about. Everybody who lives in this universe is living, you know, in this and dealing with all of this and has to take it seriously.
Right. Can I die during my astral projection out of body experience? If I got out of my body, how can I return to it? I'm asking this because I was visited by a being.
Okay, let's break these into one at a time, because if you ask me all the questions at once, I will forget them. What is the first one?
Can I die during my astral projection out of body experience?
It occasionally occurs. It's not common. You really, really, really have to mess up and run into stuff that you can't survive and can't take on in order to do that. I would say that the average visitor does not run that risk. Most of the time, we sort of have, I guess you could call it almost like a fault protection. Think of your circuit boards and your circuit breakers in your home. If you overload the circuit, boom, the breaker blows. This is much, much preferable to a house fire, even if it is annoying. Most of the time, if you're running into something you can't handle, you will rubber band back right to your body and either wake up or fall asleep or whatever, but you'll be alive. What was the next question?
If I got out of my body, how can I return to it?
Just intend to go back. As long as you have not severed your connection or had your connection to your body severed, all you need to do to go back is just intend to. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Don't believe anyone who's trying to convince you that, like, when you're out there, remember, a lot of this is mind over matter. You might meet something that declares to you that you're blocked from your body and you can't go back. Well, that ain't necessarily the case. give it the old, no, I'm not, and just go. Refuse to believe it. Refuse to listen to it. Just do your own thing anyway. That's what I mean when I say don't let anyone tell you in the astral plane. Don't let anyone tell you that you're cut off from your body. Don't let it be real. It's as easy as that.
Okay. If animals can breathe, have eyes to see, feel pain when hurt, why is then not completely normal to grant animals the right to coexist amongst us with respect?
You know, plants are the same way. Plants communicate. Sure, we can't hear it, but they do. They communicate. They are capable of suffering and understanding suffering. There's a lot of research that's finding out now that plants are well aware of what goes on around them and able to communicate this with each other. Look up mycorrhiza, which are a kind of root fungus that facilitates communication between groups of plants. Every time I see somebody ask why we're eating animals and we should all be eating plants, it makes me wonder, okay, what makes plants so evil that we should chomp down on them and ignore everything else? What makes one form of life protected while another form of life is food? Honestly, in the third dimension, life lives on other life. If you're alive, it is because something else has died, whether that's a plant, animal, bacteria, fungus, or whatever. 3D beings have to come to terms with this. This is an unfortunate fact of existence in a 3D environment, especially a 3D environment without replicators. Even plants live off of death of other creatures, whether it's bacteria, whether it's other plants, or whether it's animals that have died and decayed to become nutrients for a plant. Everything has to eat something to exist. If you can do this ethically with respect to whatever it is you're eating, then you're doing a lot better than people who just mindlessly go to a grocery store and think that meat comes in plastic in the grocery store. Be mindful and attempt to reduce suffering and harm where you can. That's the bottom line on this one. You don't have to kill yourself in order to make sure that animals don't suffer or plants don't suffer. You're still able and obligated to attempt to live your life as best you can, and that includes actually living. But until such a time as replicators are available on this planet, bear in mind that most of us are going to have to eat something, and that something was once alive. We don't have another option. There is no good. There is no brownie points, cosmic brownie points, in criticizing other people for attempting to exist. That's not your call. That's not anybody's call. You can make suggestions on how they can live more ethically, but bear in mind that you might not have the whole story either. You certainly don't have any right to declare someone an evil person for eating something you don't agree with, nor do you have the right to demand that they stop doing something if that is the way for their body to achieve optimal health. You can do that to yourself if you want, but you don't have a right to do that to anyone else, just like you don't have a right to threaten anyone else with hell if they're doing something that you don't believe. It's the same sort of idea. You don't get to punish someone else for doing something that you don't believe. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a religion or a way of eating.
Okay. Right, next question. It has always been a source of mild confusion as to how our space brothers will actually visit us. Am I right in assuming they are primarily of the fourth dimension and higher, therefore they will have to reduce their vibrations to allow them to manifest in our world? Can you say more about this process?
Okay, can I say more about this process? what kind of more do you want to hear? I mean, is there a specific line of questioning?
The frequency reduction, how it's done, and any technology used.
Okay. Frequency reduction, yes. They do have to change. They do have to change their frequency, whether this is done bare-brained, as in direct manifestation by the individual, which some but not all can do, or whether this is done modulated by technology. As for how this is achieved, I don't have the nuts and bolts of this. This is something that you'll probably learn after you yourself ascend.
Okay. Can you explain the source of the black goo, intelligent black goo, a kind of sentient oil found in the Falkland area?
Okay, we're still investigating this topic, so no, I can't really speak about it right now. It seems that there's a couple of different goos or oils, some of which have beneficial effects and some of which do not. We're still investigating this, so I can't really speak about it because I don't have accurate details.
Okay. I know 4D is about peace, but the reptilians really messed some people up, and I can't help but think I'd need to be on guard just in case after the transition. Is this the case?
Can you ask that again?
Yep. I know 4D is about peace, but the reptilians really messed some people up, and I can't help but
You're really, really quiet to me. I can't hear anything you're saying.
All right.
Basically, you are. Basically, what he's asked, or what the questioner is asking, is if it's a good idea, even though we're expecting a peaceful transition and a more peaceful existence in 4D, to still be on guard because of the presence of the reptilians and those like the grays and the other regressives in the 4D and higher dimensions.
I would say yes. We have a universal right to self-defense. This would be part of that. Be vigilant, at least until such a time where every human being on this planet is trained in their own self-defense or knows what to do and has access to defense in the case of an emergency. Be vigilant. And, you know, that could take a couple hundred years before it's the case, so keep your eye out. Don't do things that are unwise or invite trouble. And if you see something, question it. If you see something that might be that you think might be reptilian action, you know, question it. Don't take everything for granted. At least until this planet is fully liberated. And everybody on this planet has the ability to toe-to-toe it with a reptoid.
Right. Tanath mentioned that parasites, viruses, and the like were engineered for our pleasure. I understand that we will be virus-free after the transition. Will we also no longer enjoy mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other things that encourage us and our animal companions to spend time outdoors? I think that should say discourages.
I don't know about you guys, but I've never enjoyed any of those things. And no, we won't have to enjoy them or suffer them any longer. Anything that is hostile to human life will be gone.
The Illuminati ritual whistleblowers have reported seeing very powerful imprisoned spirits called the Ancient Ones being summoned at rituals where child sex abuse and child sacrifices are used as a source of negative energy food. Please provide some background context surrounding them, including their past, present, and future imprisonment.
Which one, the Illuminati or these so-called Ancient Ones?
It says the Illuminati, it was an Illuminati whistleblower. It's has reported seeing imprisoned spirits called the Ancient Ones being summoned at these rituals. Can you
provide... yeah, that sounds like pretty standard demon summoning. Demon is a bit of a catch-all term. In that case, it's not necessarily technically an actual demon. I don't know if we'll be able to imprison the things that are being summoned. First of all, we'd have to have evidence that they were not being done so against their will. And some definitely are not being done against their will. I've heard of experience or testimonies that demonstrate that at least some of those beings are willfully and intentionally malicious. And in those cases, if we catch him, we're going to put him down. But anything that's been coerced, well, it'll have a chance to say its piece. As for the people who are doing this, yes, there will be repercussions for them.
Okay.
Did I get the whole question? There was quite a bit of preamble in there, so...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Tolek mentioned that the Earth would become more moderate. Do you have any idea if that would be taking place around the first of the year or before?
I really don't know. Like I said, we don't have much to do with the timing of the matter. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think January 14th is reasonable. Just based on everything that still has to happen, I'm thinking that's probably... very optimistic indeed. I live in Canada. I sure wouldn't mind having a slightly warmer winter, although I have to say I prefer winter to summer. So I really don't know what's going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, as far as I understand it, even the weather changes for the planet to become more Mediterranean-like in climate are going to happen gradually. To the point where it is, to lessen the impact on the overall ecological systems of the planet and the population and the animals and that kind of thing. There will be some noticeable changes right away when the planet transitions. I agree. I don't think it's going to happen in January. I think, there's still things that have to happen first, and that it will likely happen a little bit later. And we'll be seeing still the changes will be gradual for the most part. They're not going to happen, overnight.
Okay. How will people be able to make a free will decision between 3D and 4D without disclosure or spiritual instruction?
I really don't know how the Andromeda Plan, Council plans on addressing that. I do know that we're going to do our best to attempt disclosure in advance of that event in order to ensure as much as we can that this will be an actual free will choice. So at this time, I can't tell you because I don't know.
Right. Do you know who is controlling Skynet? Is it real?
When you say who, do you mean the individuals or corporations, or will a general answer such as the Cabal do?
Probably that's all it
is. I don't know if this has changed hands recently either. It might have. Drake might provide better intelligence on that than I can right now. In addition, this might be something that's currently in transition.
Okay. When the Earth's population will be notified of going between 4D and 3D, the new planet, does a person have to be at least 51% awake to go to 4D?
A person has to be at least alive on this planet.
game called Tlachtli. The story goes that the pre-Aztec inhabitants played a game where they hit a rubber ball with their hips 20 feet up the side of the wall. Is this game realistic? I think they're saying pre-Aztec. It's actually Mayan.
I never played it.
No.
Couldn't tell you.
It's in...
What was the next question?
It's in Chichen Itza.
I'm familiar with the game, and I do know that, according to archaeology, that the losers of this game were executed. The entire losing team. So, bum deal if you were the loser. What was the other question on there? I don't know if it was actually, like, not having personally gone back in time to observe this myself, I don't know if what the archaeologists claim on that matter is the truth, or whether the game was actually playable. What was the next question in there?
I think that's pretty much it. Was it real? It is real, but I'm not too sure that they played it in that manner, given the size of the field and how high the goal was. So, okay,
that
next
would
question.
That would be painful. I've seen those little rubber balls. Some of them have survived in the archaeological record. Hitting that thing with your hip would hurt.
Yes. Who is the Orion Empire? What do these beings look like? And where do they come from?
Mostly the Orion constellation systems and their neighboring systems. They are composed of greys, humans, and reptoids. And they look like greys, humans, and reptoids. And they're pretty repressive.
Yeah, I would agree that they would be considered repressive. The Orion Empire is actually, from what I understand, where the Galactic Federation light comes from. The ones that were in Sirius B are out of the, their descendants are out of the Orion Empire. And have that regressive mindset.
And the final part of the question, did they affect our planet with their interference?
Yes, they have, and they continue to attempt to. Our financial system comes from that.
Right. During some of the astral battles, this conflict appears high-tech for some of them, like the Lord of the Rings, and some of them are a lot more lower-tech. In short, how can an elf take down a draconian sorcerer?
Quite easily, depending on the elf. I've seen Mander basically just lights them on fire with his head. Honestly, tech, you can consider magic just another. Magic and tech can be quite on par with each other in terms of capacities and capabilities.
Right.
Despite our society's tendency to glorify technology, many cultures are not tech-driven. It's not the be-all and end-all of everything. It really isn't.
And there's a good example of size difference. There's the Androni who range, in height from about 5 foot to 5 foot, 5.5 feet, and they can take down, one Androni can take down two or three reptoids within a matter of about a minute or two, single-handedly. So size isn't everything, guys.
Yeah, size and tech are not everything, and the deciding matter in whether or who wins a fight is not always as straightforward as we might think it is down here. Oftentimes there are a lot more factors involved.
Right. What is the trigger mechanism for ascension? Is it our sun, our planet, the galaxy or source itself?
I think it's a combination of different energies. I'm not quite sure if there's any one trigger.
From what I understand, it's a combination of things. There isn't one specific thing. It's like a combination. There's the sun, the Schumann resonance in the planet, the energies that are coming in from outside the solar system, some energies coming in from outside the galaxy, some energies that, like the new color and sound vibration that was seen coming out of the black holes back in the 90s, and was not only mentioned by Alex Collier, but verified and mentioned by Stephen Hawking, that has all been part of this overall upliftment process.
Next question. Archangels, who are these beings? What is their purpose? When do they intervene?
Oh boy, I really don't like hearing the notion of purpose of angels. That sort of assumes that they only exist for some purpose, you know? They don't have a right to exist in and of themselves, which is not the case. Angels are very high dimensional beings, typically 11th, 10th, and 12th dimensional beings. Much like small g gods, they often embody certain aspects of creation. And one of the things that they do, and this is the things that they choose to do, is help balance those elements and utilize those elements in ways that support life in general in the universe at large. When do they intervene? Well, typically it depends on the situation. Right, Sunfire?
Yeah, definitely. I know they've been a part of liberation forces all along and have been doing what they can to help. And, you know, much like the other benevolent ETs, they'll be doing more as soon as it's physically possible for landings and things like that to take place here on the planet. But in the meantime, they're up there just like everybody else doing what they can and helping out. And, you know, they're one of the most staunch fighters of enslavement. They do not like anything that is in any way related to any type of enslavement, and they fight with great passion against any type of enslavement or anything related to enslavement. When they found out that we were, you know, liberation forces were here trying to free the planet, they're like, the only thing they asked was, can we help and where do you want us to go? And they've been with us ever since. And, you know, there are positive, you know, much like any of the other beings out there are positive angels, there are negative angels, and there are neutrals. And so, no, not all angels are positive, glowing light beings with wings, you know.
In fact, we'd like to warn you about some. For instance, does anyone know what the root of the arc in archangel is? It actually comes from archon, archon angel. Consider that one for a moment.
And the definition, what is the definition of archon?
Ruler or controller.
Yes. Next question. You mentioned a group of beings you called the beings of the shadow. Can you explain this, please?
I'm pretty sure I explained it when I mentioned it, and that these are just beings that they exist in the shadows. To our perceptions, they appear to be made of shadows. They may be elementally shadow-aspected. You'd have to ask a more specific question if you want a more specific answer than that.
Right. Can you explain how beings from a different universe can enter ours? Again, you have members in the Legion. Also, you say, how do they reference our own universe? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand that other question. It'll have to be clarified. But the first one is, universal barriers are permeable. With the right technology, equipment, and or magical or psionic ability or know-how, beings can travel between universes.
Right.
Much like with the right equipment and or know-how, you can travel between planets.
Right. Are there nodes in different parts of each universe connecting to others, and is that how navigation is carried out?
It's one of the ways. Yes, there are nexus points or gate points, and that is one of the easier ways in which to travel between universes. Find a gate point that connects to another universe, and away you go. But there are other ways to do it, many other ways. There's as many ways to travel to other universes as there are ways to travel within a universe. That doesn't mean that they're all the same ways, but there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Right. I'm employed in the pharmacy industry, providing medicine to nursing homes. Will I be out of a job when the ETs arrive?
You might find that your job description changes. For instance, you probably won't be providing what is currently passed off as medicine. They probably won't be senior citizens anymore, but there will be still a need for people with healing capabilities. And for those who wish to learn to heal and conduct activities that support human health and happiness. So, yeah, your job description will probably change, but you won't necessarily be out of a job.
Right.
You know who will be out of a job? Blackwater.
Right, okay.
Yeah, another mercenary.
Can you comment on the alleged meeting of several races that met here in the last week and a half of August to discuss the outcome of the Earth?
I would need more details on this alleged meeting. So no, I cannot comment.
Okay.
Helpful would be who came up with this information. For instance, if it was somebody like Cobra, I definitely could not comment on that, and I would probably recommend caveat emptor or whichever variation of that would be appropriate for this situation. So I would definitely need more information about that before I could comment.
Right, okay. After listening to the May 2012 Tolek Tanath show, how are we going to destroy or remove the leeches or protect ourselves from them in the first place?
Well, most of them are dying off. Like, the leeches aren't so much of a problem anymore. Most of those breeding stations have been wiped out. But I know one thing that helps is attempting to create a positive emotional environment inside your own mind and in around you. Grounding, centering, shining your light, that also helps. They really don't like that. Silent mind meditation techniques help. And attempting to, if you sense them or perceive them, burn them off. They're pretty darn flammable in terms of psionic energy. And by that I mean visualize fire and think fire, and those things will burn.
Okay. How did the reptilians get to be so evil? Aren't all souls originated as pure loving energy as a fraction of source?
Yes, and it's one of the things that has boggled the positives for a long time, because after all, there should be no reason for evil. Darkness and light can exist in harmony without evil. Positive and negative can exist in harmony without evil. There is absolutely no requirement in existence that demands the presence of evil. Therefore, we treat evil as an aberrancy, as an error in creation, and are trying to figure out what the heck caused it. And we have some ideas, but I don't have details at this time.
quick question. Was Cobra Lady Dragon, or was Lady Dragon Cobra?
As far as I understand, they're two totally separate individuals.
I'm pretty sure that now Lady Dragon's in Canada. Even through the horrific voice distortion that Cobra insists on, you can tell that whoever he or she is, they're Eastern European. I think Lady Dragon has been on the record audibly, and I'm fairly certain that she's not Eastern European. So either Lady Dragon is really, really good at faking an accent just for Cobra work, or that's a different person.
Yes, Lady Dragon sounded Asian when she was on our show. Right. How is it that the void that was used to send the cube to is never going to spit back out what was once deposited there? And also, what about all the nuclear waste and ships and engines that are put in the void? Not
we use
clear
techniques
that question.
That actually deradiate them.
So is that a bit like the replicator things?
Is that the cube that we stomped back last year? Because if it is, we didn't put that in the void. What we did was we blew it up.
Yeah, we used...
We imploded, exploded it. Right?
Yeah, which even made it go away to beyond a subatomic level. And also placing things in the void, even after they're deradiated, because of the actual nature of the void, that unless it's specifically built to withstand the physics and the way the void works, it dissolves.
Yeah,
void decay. Yeah. It just dissolves and, like, turns to dust, basically, and then it's like dust on the wind.
Okay. If the world is transforming to 4D and the people who want to stay 3D have to leave, does it mean that 3D things on Earth will vanish and not sustain 3D life?
Well, that's what Tolek says. As far as I know, the things that we require for life will remain. Along with things that we invest a lot of emotional and spiritual energy into, for instance, the stuff that I knit is probably going to persist because I do that with love and I do that with caring and I put a lot of energy into that.
But
yes.
There won't be a 3D Earth.
It'll be a 4D Earth.
It'll be a 4D Earth. And basically, from what I understand, from what I've been told by a selectographer up in the Galactic Federation of Planets, he said what people will see in 3D is something very similar to what we see of gaseous planets like Jupiter and a couple of the other planets in our solar system. And he said basically why we see the gaseous planet Jupiter here in 3D is because it is a 3D placeholder for a higher dimensional planet. In the higher dimensions, Jupiter is inhabited and is just another planet, you know, like here on Terra.
Right. How will an ordinary commoner like me help in the process of getting out the replicators and over energy unity device to the mass population?
I have no idea who you are. I have no idea what your capabilities are. I have no idea what your existing contacts are like, or your interests are like, or your skill set is. I couldn't say. I would say that what you do is likely to be dependent on what you want to do, what you're good at, and the things that you bring to the table, so to speak, in terms of what you're good at, what you understand the best. How people are going to contribute as individuals,
I can't say. It's not up to me to dictate that to you. It's not up to me to decide that for you. It's up to you to decide for yourself the best way to contribute to this.
Will there be people liaising between the two, between Terrans and the landing ETs?
Yeah, what do you think Incarnates are here for?
Yeah, diplomats like me.
A large part of our task is liaison.
Yeah.
Okay. What can you tell us about President Obama? Does he have any negative alien influences? If so, please explain the extent of his negative influences.
Oh, you really want the whole thing? Well, yep. We tend to get hung up when we talk about this, but we'll give it a shot. For one, he is not a genuine human being. There is a genuine human Obama who is currently in some kind of cryostasis tank somewhere. The thing you see up there on the podium making mouth noises is a clone.
And clones do not have souls. They're like automation. They're like robots. We generally call them biological robots because they are biological and organic, but they are no different than like an android or a robot. They're just very sophisticated and advanced. And they don't have souls.
As to the extent of his negative influences, well, that really depends who's holding the leash today. It does change hands.
Is Bush one of them?
One of the leash holders? Bush is also a clone.
Yes. The Bushes
clone can't manage a clone.
The Bushes are clones. The Obamas are clones. Henry Kissinger is a clone. The Clintons are clones. Netanyahu and Romney are clones.
Kim Jong-un is a clone.
Yeah. The former president of Iran is a clone.
All right.
Okay. Like, there's a clone. Turn around. Oh, there's even another clone.
You know who isn't a clone? Putin.
Yeah.
He's not a clone.
Right. Yes, well, he's fighting back, so that's good.
Yeah.
Question for Tanath. Are there anything like the Jedi in the Milky Way galaxy or in other nearby galaxies?
Yeah, the concept that we currently understand as Jedi is not exactly new, nor is it original. That kind of organization exists in many places, with similar goals as to what you see in the George Lucas material and the stuff that sprung up around the Star Wars franchise. And there are many, many Jedi in the Silver Legion, because for some reason Jedi like the Silver Legion. Probably because we're fun.
And for a little bit of added extra history, the Star Wars series and franchise is based on the Lyran Wars from a few billion years ago, as Lucas was mentored by Xenites. He was actually mentored by Vasaeus. And Vasaeus spent many years working with and telling Lucas all these stories of the Lyran Wars, and that is what got turned into Star Wars. And the cool little tidbit is, I forget which character it was. It was the one that looks like a monk with the big ears. It was actually a character based on Vasaeus.
What, Yoda?
Yoda.
How can you forget Yoda?
I don't watch Star Wars. I just remember the E.T., because the E.T. connection to it. But Yoda
right.
is based on the same.
Are you able to name some of the new jobs that Terrence would be immediately able to receive training for following the landings?
Not at this time, no. That's all still under organization.
Right. Okay. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to play two songs. They'll be about 8 or 9 minutes long. The first one is a request from above, and we'll take you into that. And the second one is a favorite of Tanat's. So we'll see you in about 8-9 minutes.
Taste the moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country road.
hi and welcome back to the final hour of Cosmic Voice with Tanath and Sunfire. And we'll go straight into the questions. Ready?
Yep.
Are,
mm-hmm.
are Asket and SemJays really doing ops with a person who blogs on the former White Hat? Is he a time traveler using Arcturian technology?
SemJays died in a war back in the late to mid-90s and has not come back since. As far as the other one, I don't know, but from what I understand, the ones calling themselves the Pajarans are not positive. They're only masquerading as positive and trying to manifest a bad timeline.
Okay, next question. Can you help us understand how the good guys are winning when the good ETs can't even land, even with all the advanced technologies from hundreds of planets in our universe?
We can still be winning without having won. This is a war, not a battle, which means that there are a number of different things that have to be completed before victory is declared. It would be premature to declare victory at this point, but as far as we understand, the balance has shifted in our favor tremendously. That's about all I really care to say on that.
Right, okay. How will our spiritual awakening be achieved? Will we have our pineal glands cleansed somehow to realize our spiritual potential?
I'm not entirely sure about the mechanism or exactly what will happen. I just know that it will happen.
Right. This is in a few parts. Are foxes and Siberian weasels capable of absorbing sunlight and moonlight? I've heard they live thousands of years and manifest themselves into human form. Is this true?
I'm not familiar with that at all, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. This one was for Drake. But, you mentioned the likely possibility of all of those we have worshipped through the eons will come and visit and explain true meanings to us. Is there a particular event that must take place which would indicate the coming is very close?
That's very close right now, but as for a particular event, yeah. Well, endings.
Okay. I presume the financial event will come before that.
Well, it's looking to be that way right now.
Can any or all address the UFO battle of 1561 over Germany? And if it's true that multiple UFOs and multiple races are coming to Earth at this moment, and why are they coming?
I think I heard about a survivor of that. His name was Nikiti, and he was one of the feline Syrians, Syrian A. Other than that, I don't really have much detail about that. What was the second question?
Can you report that multiple UFOs and multiple races are coming to Earth at this time, and why are they coming?
Well, yes, there are. There are at least 500 known species currently involved to some degree with Earth. The true number of those is probably much higher. That's 500 that the Galactic Federation of Planets knows. As for what they're doing, well, every single group has its own agenda. Quite a large number of them are involved in the liberation forces and the liberation effort. Some are doing this for their own benefit. Some are trying to enslave us. It's impossible to say, okay, what are the aliens doing? Because, well, it's like asking, what are the humans doing? There's 7 billion people on this planet, more than that. everybody's doing something different. Everybody has their own goals, motivations, opinions, desires, needs, neuroses, etc. It's the same thing with different groups. Every group and subgroup on the planet that's human is likewise the same with its own goals, desires, organization, etc. It's exactly the same when you go a few thousand kilometers up and farther. Life doesn't change all that much.
Okay. Is there a point in the transition where 3D can see 4D and vice versa?
We would normally be able to, but our sight was greatly tampered with via a process of exposure to light frequencies that destroy the part of the retina that physically permits extra-dimensional sight at birth for a lot of us, via the chemical and other toxin assault that we're surrounded with, via the damage that's been done to our pineal glands. So that's a bit of that question is a little bit skewed. Most 3D places can see higher dimensionals, no problem. The people of this planet have been tampered with in a deliberate effort to keep us blind.
Okay. Is it possible for souls to have physical sex in the spirit world?
Yes.
Very much so.
Many people do this all the time. Some individuals do this all the time. It's like all they can think of.
Like your brother?
Like my brother, yes. He's enjoying family life.
Sometimes I wonder if it's a little too much.
Right. We'll pass on that one. Can you have painful body symptoms for ascension, like achy bones, joints, and limbs?
You know, that's more likely to be some kind of toxin that you're exposed to, possibly even gluten.
Okay.
I'd eliminate the common physical pain explanations before I turn to something like an ascension symptom. Ascension symptoms, I've seen them talked about lots by the same kinds of people who talk about Ashtar Command and Sananda and Salusa. So I'm not too sure how valid that information. My people have never mentioned anything about ascension symptoms.
Just in case there was a word missing, perhaps you can answer, can you have painful body symptoms after ascension, like achy bones, joints, and limbs?
Oh, after ascension? Only if you've been injured or subjected to some kind of agent to induce those symptoms. That won't happen naturally. Like all of these things that we tend to think of as consequences of aging, yeah, they just don't exist.
Right. Who is the divine mother goddess Eke, or Eke, that Robert Morning Sky and our various world elders from different tribes speak about? Was she human? If not, what species was she?
Unless they might be referring to Mother Earth, Terra, Gaia, various names there. Other than that, I'm really not familiar. People have different names for all different kinds of entities. And
yeah,
I'm not familiar with all of them.
Yeah, it was just spelled E-K-E. So.
Yeah, I am not familiar, sorry.
So the next question is invalid then, but it's about the same thing. Next question. Robert Morning Sky and the elders strongly say the lost history of humankind is actually the lost history of womankind. Their information and their sources highly resonate with me. What do you think about their work?
I'm really not deeply familiar. If it resonates with you, then use it. Use what works. You're not obligated to follow something that doesn't resonate with you.
Right. This one's in four parts. What are dreams and why do we dream is the first two.
Dreams are basically, they serve a bunch of different functions. And I can answer both at the same time because the questions are related. We dream largely because it's required for mental stability and health. It doesn't mean that if you're a person who doesn't remember their dreams that you're insane or crazy or whatever. You're probably still dreaming. You just don't remember it. Or the time you would have spent dreaming is spent doing something else, like going out of your body. You just don't remember it. As for what they are, they're basically trips of consciousness. Your consciousness goes to another realm. And there it tools around, it sorts out things that it's dealing with in the waking world. It sometimes sees the future. Sometimes it hangs around with buddies and does things with people you know. It does a whole bunch of stuff. There are many different kinds of dreams. Some dreams are clearly your consciousness attempting to work through a real world or physical world problem, doing so in symbolistic means. I have to apologize. I do have one of the dyslexia group of disabilities. I'm dyslalic, and I'm also very, very tired after having dashed home and spent all day working, so I'm stumbling over my own speech a lot more than I normally do, and I apologize for this. Dreams can sometimes be prophetic. Anybody who's had prophetic dreams and who's had normal dreams, if you have them often enough, you start to recognize a difference in how they feel. I've had dreams sent to me, sometimes by friendly entities, sometimes by decidedly unfriendly entities. So there's sent dreams as well. There's shared dreams that occur with other individuals that you may know or you may not even know that you shared them with. There's also dreams that are recurring. And in those cases, you know, either it's the same dream, the same time over and over again, or there's elements of it that are recurring. Some of us have dreamscapes. Certain areas in our own personal dream world which show up again and again and again. For me, the farm that I grew up on somehow still shows up in my dreamscape. Every now and then I'll dream about the farm, and I haven't seen that place in 20 years. So, you know, that's kind of funny that way.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Okay, next question. And don't worry about tripping, because I think you're doing fine. Next part of it. If we dream of people we know, does it mean they miss us? And will we dream in 4D after the ascension?
You'll still dream in 4D. You'll definitely still dream in 4D. You'll pack a lot more into the 2 hours that you'll need to sleep. Yep, that's one nice thing about higher dimensions. You don't have to sleep as much, and you still enjoy it. It still feels like you got a good night's sleep, too. Sleep's a lot easier up there and a lot more fun. Yes, you still dreams. As for people that you meet in your dreams or when you dream about people you know, I don't know if that means that they miss you. Sometimes it's just they're filling in for a concept in your own mind. Like, for instance, if I dream about my stepmom, it isn't necessarily literally about my stepmom. She may just be filling in for some concept that my subconscious needs to work through. Sometimes you'll have shared dreams with other people. If you've ever had the exact same dream as someone else, then you'll know what I mean. In those cases, I don't know, the people that you're sharing with are clearly in the same context, but all the other actors within might just be creations of the dreamscape.
Okay. While trying to clear my mind during meditation, I often have a rush of chaotic noise come back into my mind, causing me to have to start over again. Any idea as to why this is happening and what could be done to overcome this?
Practice is probably the best way to overcome that. Practice knowing that it's going to happen and getting ready to deny it would probably help. other than that, no, I don't really know why it's causing or what's causing it or why it's happening. It could be internal. It could be something within yourself that is causing this. It could be an external influence. It could just be one of the traits of your particular types of meditation or your approach or your mind. It's not necessarily something bad, or it's not necessarily that you're doing something wrong either. Just know your own patterns and prepare for them. It's like people trying to go out of body. A lot of times there is a loud noise right before you achieve separation. It's sometimes described as a booming or banging noise. Some people think it's the heartbeat. Other people have other ideas about what it is. Whatever it is, it startles a lot of people out of their attempt the first time and often subsequent times after hearing it. So it could be something that's sort of the same there.
Yes. When the body transitions is over, will we feel any pain as our bodies correct themselves? And how long does it take to change over?
It happens in an eye blink, and you shouldn't feel any pain at all, if anything. All these little aches and pains and subtle insults of the flesh that we all live with will probably disappear in an instant. So instead of feeling a pain over it, you'll probably be quite shocked to discover, oh my goodness, I'm not in pain. For some of us who've lived with chronic pain for a long time, that's going to be a bit of a shock in itself.
Right. Can we see pictures of Tanath, Sunfire, and Tolek, please?
For reasons of protection of my privacy, my family's privacy, and safety and security, I am not currently releasing photos of myself online or to anyone else privately.
Yeah, same here. And I know Tolek is the same way.
This is not exactly a safe job.
No.
I have enough people constantly trying to kill me day in and day out. I don't want to add to the list.
Right. Do you envision implementation of training for new careers such as space travel, etc., as something that would take place before or after the dimensional shift to 4D?
It all depends on what kind of information can be got out ahead of time. If we can fully depose the cabal, fully start transitioning people mentally for the fourth dimension, preparing people mentally for the fourth dimension, and start making some of the infrastructure changes that are going to be necessary for human freedom, then yeah, we'll probably see some career revitalization and restructuring prior to ascension, but a lot of it's going to happen afterwards, simply because some things are just physically impossible in the third dimension.
Right. How do you envision the impact of ET visitations will have on society in general?
Well, as a sociologist, I'm going to declare that it's going to vary a great deal from person to person, group to group, region to region, and country to country. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to embrace this and be very excited and very happy about it, depending on what kind of information people have access to prior to full public activities. There may be some who are afraid or hesitant. We're expecting that there are some people who are going to be so upset to find out that some of the things that they've been told since their childhood are lies. We're hoping that people won't do things that are self-destructive because of this. And we're hoping to be able to provide supports for those individuals. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's hard to say exactly what's going to happen ahead of time because we really don't know. In a lot of ways, this is walking into the big unknown. We have some reasonable expectations and best guesses, but the exact way things will happen is not anticipatable. In addition, there is the, I guess you could call it the source effect, in which things may
things may be absolutely okay, even though it might look from a projection that it might be a little iffy. Things might turn out to be better than expected, simply because of the source effect. And I guess you could call this the wild card good stuff. It happens. We can't always anticipate it or expect it, but it does happen.
The next part of it, do you think it will cause a temporary closing of business governments in order to allow people time to meet and greet and learn about this unique historical event?
I don't know. It's hard to say, especially since right now a lot of people rely on social supports of various kinds. And this is not an accusation or a negative thing. In a lot of cases, they've just simply been given no choice. If they want to live, they have to rely on social supports. To basically shut down any kind of government completely would leave human beings in a very precarious position in a lot of places, in a lot of societies. We have to do this in such a way that nobody's going to, you know, lose the things they need for life for any length of time. And in order to support getting things that people need to life to people need for life to people that currently have a hard time securing that, definitely if we can manage to get rid of the cabal without having to take down all the governments in the world and then work with existing structures for change and reform, that's something that would probably be preferable to tearing it all down.
From what I understand, it's not the intention of the Galactic Federation of Planets and the Allies to cause the general global infrastructure to be shut down specifically for the events of the landings and meet and greets and that kind of thing.
That's pretty illegal, and it's not our intention at all.
Right, and it's not necessary. Our intentions are to, you know, to make the transition not only from 3D to 4D, but from a from the current planetary model to the future planetary model as smoothly and as smoothly and calmly and peacefully as possible. And even with the governments and all that, you know, and the stores and everything else remaining open, there will be enough time for everybody to become fully informed, fully aware of what's going on and everything. And so, I mean, to shut down things like, you know, like grocery stores and transportation and local governments and that kind of thing would actually have a more detrimental impact on the efforts of the liberation forces, not only the ET, but also, you know, the people that are down here on the surface, like the positive military, the militias, and, you know, their support. And so, you know, we don't want to have that potential for chaos and, you know, and disruption of people's normal every day-to-day lives and their ability to obtain whatever they need, whether it's food, gas, groceries, the latest pair of Nike sneakers, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and we're not in the business of telling you how to govern yourselves. You got to decide for yourself what the best method of government for you is. We're about securing your right to self-government and sovereignty.
And free will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because that's one of the things that, you know, everybody, I wouldn't say everybody, but I see a lot of people talking about free will and sovereignty, and I look out and I see that a lot of people really don't yet know or understand what true free will and sovereignty is and what it really means. And even when it comes to love, it's like to understand the depth of the potential and the force and the impact of love and the necessity of, like I mentioned in the previous show, the necessity of being in a position of love and not in a position of fear is, you know, the impact and the depth of those things and what they truly mean and what they really are. Most down here on the surface don't understand those yet, and that's one of the reasons why the Galactic Federation planets, the Silver Legion, the Angels, and, you know, all our allies are here, is so that we can help the population learn what their full potential is and learn what true free will is and learn what it is to be a sovereign, self-governed individual and live on a sovereign, self-governed planet. And probably what will be done most likely is that a bunch of different planetary models will be presented and made public and available to every individual on this planet. And then everybody will collectively come together and decide what is going to be best for the planet. And maybe you guys will take one of those, or maybe, you know, the entire population will choose something completely different and come up with their own brand new model. And, you know, that's kind of part of the fascination of being here, is seeing what, when the population is given the opportunity to choose and decide and make decisions, what do they choose? What direction do they go? It's fascinating. Not only for people like me, but a lot of the ET up there, they're like, what's going to happen next? It's like the best TV show in the galaxy almost.
Okay. Right. Next question. Is it at all possible that you are working in the Silver Legion or other groups while you sleep, and when you are awake, you have no knowledge of it?
Yes, it's entirely possible. I actually did the bulk of my early participation in this way, because there's just too much activity for me to bring through, right? There are a lot of people who are, I guess you could almost call them like sleeper agents, literally. We have a couple thousand human incarnates. Not all of them are aware of who they are and what they're doing. It's on that subject, though, it's not up to me to say whether a given individual is a Silver Legionnaire. It is never up to an external person or entity or anything else to define your identity for you. That is always your job. It is unethical for somebody else to try to do this. Anybody who's doing this is acting inappropriately. They could be wrong. They could be deliberately lying to you. They could maybe just not have the whole story. And this can actually interfere with your own personal exploration of yourself and of your identity. So I recommend to people, make your own identity. It's in your hands. It's up to you. You get to decide who you are and what you are, not somebody else. If you want to know if you're already a Silver Legionnaire, well, one of the things I tell people is ask yourself, does this feel to you like people you know? Does this feel familiar? Does this feel like something, do you get an immediate sense of, oh, wow, that's me, I do that, that's us? If you get that sense of belonging, then you're likely a Silver Legionnaire already. I'm not going to be able to remember you, because I just simply don't have the bandwidth for that kind of information transfer right now. But and it's not up to me to tell you whether or not you're a Silver Legionnaire anyway. I won't claim you if you're not mine, so to speak. It'd be inappropriate for me to try. Nor am I going to tell you that you're not a Silver Legionnaire, because I don't know that for sure. With my bandwidth, I can't really tell. So it's really up to you as an individual. If you feel like you belong, if you get that immediate sense of, wow, that's me, that's us, chances are you're one of us.
Yes. Right. I don't know who wants to answer this one. What planet is Thomas from? Right, okay.
Thomas, I guess you're the one who has to answer that.
Yeah.
We'll take a vote on that.
I don't know is a good answer if you don't know.
Pass.
it's okay to be, it's okay to not know.
Yes.
I'm not the only one who operates under limited bandwidth here. Nobody knows the whole story.
No.
Part of the fun.
Yeah, well, all will be revealed, so to speak. But yes, I'm still trying to find out myself. And when I'll do, I'll report back. Okay, Luna? Right, next question. If the Bushes are also clones, then who is pulling the strings in the Western world?
Likely one of the Illuminati or Cabal people that you never hear about.
Yeah, generally speaking, the ones that are really pulling the strings, you don't hear about in public. So from what I understand, the ones that you do hear about in public and everybody talks about in public are kind of...
Second rank, usually.
Yeah, or even more down in like the 5th through 10th level.
Right, next question's on astrology. What is it? After we transition to 4D, will our zodiac signs still have specific energy influences of the planets on them, or will those influences cease?
I'm really not an expert in astrology. I do know that people still use it, but I don't know if it's used in the same way it is down here.
Right. Will borders between countries become a thing of the past after or soon after the transition?
Well, this is something that is up to Terrans to decide, not up to us. That falls under sovereignty. Most likely because the current system of nations and whatnot is... generally pretty hostile to human life. Chances are you guys are going to pick something that's more along the lines of cooperative representation by continent or major geographical region as opposed to country. So I don't know what will happen with the borders. That's all up to you guys. It's not up to me to dictate that to you.
Right. I am a Reiki master. Will I be able to work on one of the hospital biospheres of the Andromeda Council?
Likely. They do use Reiki and other types of energetic healing, so it's chances are you'll get an opportunity if you feel that's your calling. You'll get an opportunity to live up to it.
Yeah, there'll be positions available for healers on Federation biospheres too.
Yep.
So,
the Silver Legion is always recruiting healers.
Well,
you don't
good.
Have to necessarily be a warrior or want to get into combat, because we do have non-combat healers.
Yeah. The Andromeda Council isn't the only organization out there, guys.
Yep.
Right, okay. Right. This question is for the ladies. Is there equality between the sexes amongst the gods and the goddesses?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
There's no dimorphic differences in strength. A lot of the ladies can kick butt just as much as the guys, at least among the gods. Some species of non-gods... do have dimorphism. Others have cultural preferences for gendered stuff, but it tends to be by preference, not by force.
And I mean, think about my higher self. I can punch my fist right through a Draco's face. So there's no lack of a female. Ability in the higher dimensions at all.
And in my particular species, the males are tercels. Females tend to be physically quite larger and stronger than the males. So you don't see the same sort of disparity in strength between... you don't see women as the weaker sex in my species. We still don't push around the guys. We like them.
Yeah. So there's a lot more equality than there is down here.
Yeah, at least among positive societies and neutral societies. Negative societies, usually whichever one has the material advantage, rules the roost. And it's not always the men.
Okay. Right, this is going back to a previous question. If worded it differently, it was about the meeting of the different races. It says, I'd like to have my earlier question answered as at the end of August approaches. So once again, regarding the Alien Races book and the mentioning of a council of five who are gathering here on Earth for a meeting, which races are these, and are they benevolent or regressive?
I am not familiar with the material. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Do you have names for the races?
No, they were asking
don't
the names.
Want to, you know. Okay. They
just
were asking the names. No, I don't know who it is. There's okay. Let's put it this way. There are many, many, many councils, federations, organizations, things like that. There are so many out there. The enemy will often declare themselves a new name every other day to try to fly it past people's BS radar. In addition, we have numerous groups who call themselves ancients, elders, founders, whatnot. Knowing which one is which is very, very difficult without more specific details. For instance, the exact name that they call themselves, the planets or system of origin, description, physical description, what do they look like, other known information about their affiliations or beliefs or societal structure. You know, it's very hard to say anything based off a few short lines of these guys are here, you know. We don't even know if it's true that they're actually here and visiting, or if that's something, some hearsay.
Or if they're going to be here or not be here.
Yeah, if they're a negative, we may have already eliminated them. They may not be a factor anymore.
Right, okay.
And if they're not here because of the quarantine of the solar system, it's likely they won't be. Unless they're, you know, on the approved list of races that are allowed in and out of the solar system.
Yep.
Right, okay. Since the Ascension is a galactic event that has to do with planets and solar systems, do they think it wouldn't come because we didn't get everything done? Why would the universe wait because people aren't prepared?
The Ascension is going to happen no matter whether people are prepared for it or not. There's nothing in existence that can prevent the Ascension from happening. Plain and simple, guys. Nothing in existence can prevent the Ascension from happening. It is going to happen. It is a natural evolutionary event.
Okay.
Not even Master Source itself can stop the ascension of the planet.
Right. Next question. Why do we only have two strands of DNA or only five basic senses? We are working with limited capability here in 3D. Who is responsible for it? And how?
We were originally designed with 12 strands of DNA and way more senses and abilities and things like that. What happened was about 25,000 years ago, give or take, the Anunnaki, the Reptoids, and a bunch of their buddies came in and decided to start messing with things, and they unattached the extra 10 strands of DNA. They took the 48th chromosome and crashed it into the 47th and caused decay to where now we only have like 46 or something like that. And that's pretty much how they did it. They're master geneticists, and they found that this is the best way to come in and take over and start causing trouble and control things, and they started messing with our DNA. They shortened our lifespan from the average of 1,000 to 1,500 years for a 3D being down to between 80 and 100 years. They caused all kinds of genetic abnormalities and defects and all kinds of nasty stuff to start happening by playing with our genetics. All that stuff that the mainstream DNA and geneticists and everything swear is junk DNA, guys, it's not. It's actually very, very valuable stuff. It's part of our normal genetic memories from the 22 to 25 different ET races that came together to make this what it was. It was originally an experiment to take a bunch of different races and, you know, have the creations and see if they could all live together on the planet harmoniously. And for a while it was working until all the bad guys came in and decided to ruin the party.
Right, okay. All right, this is again to do with a previous comment. I did not understand your comment about Obama being a clone as well as Bush, the Clintons, Kissinger, Netanyahu, etc. You say that all clones do not have souls. Are they like robots? Where are the originals, and are all the Obama family clones?
They don't have souls. They are basically biological robots. That's why we call them, you know, like robotoids or, you know, something along that line. The originals, as I believe Tanakh said, they're kept in stasis.
Yeah, classified locations, and we can't mention them without getting dropped, sorry.
And we have no intention of mentioning them, but the ETs, you know where they're at.
And the next part of it, who programs the clones, and do they know they are under the influence of somebody else?
I don't have that specific information.
Okay. Next question. Will the female sex drive be as strong as the male sex drive after the transition?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the induced problems with human sexuality will no longer be present, male or female.
Right, okay. All right. This will probably be the last one, I think, before the summing up. I asked, I'm going to have to break this down a bit. I asked a similar question before on magic and psionics. I once had a dream that showed magic and psionics, where magic was mostly an indirect form of energy manipulation and psionic was a very direct manipulation, like blowing up a door with your mind. I've talked to one person about this before, and the dream showed how magic is used to give a degree of control over the manipulation. Do you find this to be accurate?
Not in my case, but it might be for you.
Okay. Right. Everyone is referencing Star Trek for like the new technology, but is it not the case that Battlestar Galactica is also very similar?
Yep.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica, Stargate SG-1, Star Trek franchise, Star Wars, the Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda series. Basically, any of those along the majority of the sci-fi genre are going to have at least some percentage of basis in truth. I know The Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda series was written based on an alternate timeline. You know, if you want something that's really, you know, a really interesting bit of interesting history, that was written on a different, you know, based on information from a previous timeline.
Okay. We've got 2 minutes left. Do you want to sum anything up, Tanath?
Well, it's good to talk to everyone here again. Nice to nice to be here. Sorry I was late.
That's okay. We have to tend to
remember
tend
no
things.
Fear.
Yes. Sunfire?
I think, you know, that's pretty much it. Like I mentioned earlier and even mentioned on the previous show, try to hold a position of love and make all decisions, or as many as you can, from a position of love. Help keep your friends, your family, your loved ones out of that fear state of mind.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah, even when it's hard. And the, you know, the more you push, the more you focus on that, the more you do it, you know, like any other abilities, any other things, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you do it, the stronger it gets, the easier it gets. We've all been there, and, you know, we're all in this together, and we're all moving on the same train, down the same track. So, you know, try to get along with your people, your neighbors, your, you know, and those around you, and get involved in community projects. Get involved in any kind of humanitarian project you can do. You know, people email and ask, how can we help? How can we get involved? That's how you guys can help and get involved. Go get involved in humanitarian projects. Any kind of humanitarian project you can get involved in, because that is going to be vitally necessary and vitally important in the coming times and lead up to the transition, because there's a lot of humanitarian aid that is needed now and will be needed in the future.
Yep, humanitarian alternates. Energy, alternate transportation, environmental cleanup, all of these things are going to be, there's going to be a heavy focus on it. So if those are things that interest you, there'll be a lot of opportunities.
Okay.
And, you know, if you don't know how to do anything like that, then, you know, now is a good time to learn. Even the alternative forms of healing, learn about all the different herbs and the different oils and the different color therapy and light therapy and sound therapy and, you know, all those different forms of, you know, modalities of healing and Reiki and prana energy manipulation and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I'd like to say thanks for listening and thanks to Tanath and Sunfire. My name is Thomas Williams and we'll see you all on Sunday. Bye for now.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling.